Hvad hørte vi her, Frederik?
Vi hørte et nummer, som jeg tror hedder Eula.
Ja.
E-U-L-A.
Thank you.
Jeg er kulturminister Mette Bock, og jeg hører kun det opløftende radioprogram 800 direkte.
Ja, og sådan kan resten af befolkningen jo også se at komme i gang og følge Mette Bocks eksempel. Du lytter i hvert fald til 800 direkte.
Sig det til en ven, hvis du gerne vil anbefale programmet. Like os på Instagram.
Man følger altså på Instagram, William. Man liker ikke.
Man kan da godt gøre begge dele.
Så kan man like vores billeder. Ja, det var altså lydquizzen for i dag. Og hvis du sidder derude med svaret, Wow. Og nu er det tid til 800 Direktes sportssegment.
I et kvarter spillede AGF 11 spillere mod 9 mod FC Midtjylland, men de formåede ikke at score i perioden. Nogle vil sige, at det er mangel på kvalitet, at vi ikke fik scoret. Andre vil kalde det uheldigt, udtaler Frederik Tengager, AGF forsvar.
Hi, this is Vashti Bunyan, and you are listening to The Lake Radio.
William, nu ved jeg, hvad man kan vinde i lydquizzen.
Ja.
Man kan vinde et signeret billede af Tim Christensen.
Genialt.
Den fik vi aldrig uddelt, den præmie.
Nej. Men altså, jeg er bange for, at vi ikke får den uddelt igen.
Tror du, quizzen var for svær?
Den var svær. Jeg kunne ikke gætte det. Det kan jeg lige så godt indrømme.
Du kan ikke gætte det?
Nu ved jeg, hvad det er jo.
Jeg kan jo sige, at den blev gættet til julefrokosten.
Blandt 20 mennesker, som ved rigtig meget om elektronisk musik.
Og nu giver du en ledetråd.
Altså, alt musik i dag er jo elektronisk.
Det lød sgu som en artikel fra Stiftstidende, det der.
Det gjorde det. Frederik, jeg ved, du er meget glad for fugle, og især for fuglemusik. Så derfor har jeg taget et stykke med fugl med til dig i dag.
Ej, hvor dejligt.
Det hedder Zug Vögel med Carola Bauchholt. Thank you. Her var det altså lidt fuglemusik.
Det var jeg glad for, du tog med, William. Og det er jo altid godt at være tænkt på den måde.
Ja, jeg tænker tit på dig.
Men det var jo falske fugle.
Det var det. Det var snydefugle, og du må ikke hænge mig op på det, men så vidt jeg husker, så har hun lavet det ved at lave en lydoptagelse af et miljø, hvor der var fugle, og så har hun forsøgt at transkribere det i noder og fået et orkester til at spille det. Og jeg synes, det lyder ganske sjovt, faktisk.
Mm. Næsten troværdigt.
Ja.
Ja, en form for kunstmusik.
Det kunne man kalde det, ja. Man kunne også, ja, jeg følte også, det var sådan lidt sådan, jeg tænkte på sådan noget dilettantteater eller sådan noget.
Ja. Heller ikke et dårligt bud.
Nej.
Jeg har et stykke musik med af en anden kunstkomponist.
Okay. Der komponerer kunst?
Ja, på en måde.
Ja.
Du kan jo få navnet på ham, så kan du se, om du er enig.
Okay.
Han hedder Henning Christiansen.
Henning? Kalder jeg ham bare.
H.C.
H.C.
Henning C. Og
han var en værre en.
Ja. Det var han da vel, måske. Nummeret, det hedder... hvad hedder det? Det hedder... Sati und Gertrud Stein gingen im Garten spazieren. Sie gab ihr... Og nu løber jeg tør for plads at læse på.
Noget på tysk er nogen, der gik i en have.
Ja, Gertrud Stein og Sati, der går i en have.
Og kendte
hvad,
hinanden,
hvad står der så?
Ja, det er svært at se.
Sati und Gertrud Stein gingen im Garten spazieren. Sie gab ihm eine Rose und bekam eine Birne. Ah, ja vel.
Det er en flot titel.
Ja, er det en, du vil oversætte?
Ja, så skal jeg lige se den igen, men altså, de Gertrud Stein og...
Det er noget med, at de går en tur i haven,
så giver hun ham en rose,
og får og en pære.
Bliver en pære.
Bliver hun en pære?
Var det ikke det, der stod?
Jeg tænkte, hun fik en pære.
Nå.
Hun bekam eine pære, eine birne.
Bekam. Jeg ved ikke engang, hvor det betyder.
Jeg tror, du har bedre forhold for... Eller
jeg har jo boet en længere periode i Tyskland.
Ja, det var dengang, du var sangskriver.
Det var det.
Kunne man
det skal
i
vi ikke nærmere ind på.
Nej, men det kunne være, der kommer nogle ønsker. Fra lytteren, der gerne vil høre nogle af dine sange.
Det kan vi desværre ikke.
Men måske vi godt kan levere noget, Henning Christiansen.
Det kan vi.
Fra pladen Sati i Højsø, udgivet. Genudgivet af Institut for Dansk Lydarkæologi.
nu udsolgt.
Small lid, cutting board, cup, dishes, bottle, bottle, bottles, jar, salt, apple, hazelnut, parsley, fridge, stove, lamp, bag, paper bag, tote bag, chair, 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 door, 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 floor, mattress, duvet, scissors, suit, suitcase, zipper, 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 yoga mat, yoga, brush, brush, toothbrush, clothes, washing machine, computer, tools, toolbox, vacuum cleaner, paper, pen, pen, postcard, magazines, book, 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 Miguel de Cervantes, Italo Calvino, Joan Didion, Dictionary of Critical Theory. The semiotic is a dimension of language arising from the continued contact with the maternal body that is repressed by the symbolic. The studio book of alphabets, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, the phone, the recorder, foots, window, outside, inside, tone, A, piano, guitar, drum, kick drum, snare drum, hi-hat, drum, kick drum, snare drum, hi-hat, record, chromatic scale, test record, sound effects record, exterior ambience, the Sugar Hill Gang, the Cat Power, the Fleetwood Mac, the Deutsche Grammophon, Frédéric Chopin, the Acid House, silence, metal, glass, rubber, porcelain, rock, cork, wood, woman or woman, u, man, u, hand, knees, thighs, buttocks, ears, lips, eyes, brain, 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 word,
brain,
word,
sound,
sound,
word,
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 sound, 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 sound,
Her var det altså Kim Hjorthøj, og det var et stykke, som vi nævnte i sidste program til den skarpe lytter, som Kim Hjorthøj har lavet i forbindelse med Works for Radio.
Og sidste uge, der hørte vi altså et nummer med en lidt anden klang, et ja. Klavernummer. Men det var jo dejligt at høre en anden side af ham også.
Det er sådan noget, der sker i det her program, man udvider sin horisont inden for norske kunstnere som Kim Hjorthøj.
Så kan du skrive ind til os, hvilke nummer du bedst kunne lide.
Hvis du svarer rigtigt, så får du sendt det rigtige nummer med posten.
Ja. Yeah.
Brevposten selvfølgelig.
Jeg håber simpelthen, vi får en lytter igennem på den lydkonkurrence der.
Det gør vi. Og Frederik, hvis vi ikke gør, så ringer jeg til dig, og så laver jeg min stemme om.
Ja, vi skal vel lige sige, at det er jo ikke tilladt at skrive ind, hvis man var til stede til julefrokosten ellers, og altså kan svare derfra.
Under ingen omstændigheder, nej.
Det vil være fusk.
Rasmus Meinert, du kan godt holde telefonen i lommen.
Men med det sagt, så...
skal der lige hostes?
Ja, det er det jo sæson for.
Det er det.
Selvom jeg ellers har haft det glimrende siden sidste afsnit.
Og jeg har sluppet stadigvæk endnu. 7, 9, 13. Frederik, nu er det jo blevet sådan, at det nu er mandag aften. Klokken er 19.09. Hvis du sidder og lytter live, så vil du måske undre dig over, at jeg siger mandag aften. Det er fordi, at vi sender tirsdag aften, men optager mandag aften. Dermed en forsinkelse på 24 timer. Det er den tid, det tager at sende et program fra Aarhus til København. Nu skal vi lytte til et sidste stykke musik.
Ja, og hvilket nummer vi skal høre, det kan jeg fortælle dig nu. Vi skal høre et nummer, der hedder Can't Imagine, og kunstneren bag hedder Tone. Og skarpe lyttere vil... Hvis de er sådan nogen, der sidder og gennemgår tracklisten og finder musikken selv online, opdag, at der har været hele tre numre i dag så fra det pladeselskab, der hedder Curl. Som altså et britisk pladeselskab. Og det er jo en ret høj volumen i forhold til vores trackliste, men det skyldes simpelthen, at jeg er faldet pladask for det her pladeselskab. Det er et... en gruppe af musikere fra London, der blandt andet tæller Michael Levy, som man måske kender fra andre projekter, men altså også en hel masse andet guld. Sidste sang, Can't Imagine, altså af Tone. Og William, skal vi ikke bare takke af og sige, at det var det?
Det synes jeg.
I dag, vi siger tak til alle dem, vi plejer at sige tak til.
Plus lidt flere.
Hiding in the shadow, wake up with the sunshine. No had that look of sorrow. It can wait until tomorrow. Just write the beat, and the bass will follow. Now if you plot these currents, what do you get? There's no turning back, there's no turning back. Now if you choose these currents, what do you get? There's no turning back, no turning back, no turning back. I had another late night. This time I'm gonna put it right. No more hiding in the shadows. Wake up when the sun shines. Don't have that look of sorrow. It can wait until tomorrow. Just write the beat, and the bass will follow. I know she get up, wash out a dirty cup, glance down at my phone, 10 calls from home. I had another late night. This time I'm gonna put it right. No more hiding in the shadows. Wake up when the sun shines. Don't have that look of sorrow. It can wait until tomorrow. Just ride the beat, and the bass will follow.
Jeg er kulturminister Mette Bock, og jeg hører kun det opløftende radioprogram 800 direkte.
The number you have dialed is not a working number. Please check the number and dial again. Altel 83.
The telephone keeps ringing, so I ripped it off the wall. I cut myself while shaving, now I can't make a call. We couldn't get much worse. Good. Bum diddly bow.
a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Hook. Emmanuel Goldstein back with you here, along with, who is this, Kyle over there?
Yes, I'm here.
And out in Signal Land, it's still Signal Land, right? Yeah, okay, Signal Land. We have, is that Rob T. Firefly there?
It is, good evening.
And that looks like Gila over to your left.
Good evening.
And do I see Alex?
You're correct. Once again, on a roll, Emmanuel. Good evening.
Wow, this is just like old times. And by old times, I mean at least a month ago, which is the last time we gathered here. Since that time, Kyle and I have been traveling all throughout Europe, talking to so many people, including a good number of our listeners. And it's just it's great to be back. It was great to be traveling and to be talking with so many of you. And just to be experiencing all kinds of different things. There's so much to share, so much to talk about. I should point out, I just had a tooth extracted, so I'm a little out of it. And the dentist said I shouldn't talk so much. I'm not sure if he was referring to in general or just, you know, because of the medical procedure. But I'm going to, you know, try and fall back a little bit and just try and say what's absolutely vital. But any updates or questions or things that we need to catch up on?
We are interested in hearing about your adventures and travels. And so now that you can't talk as much, that's not as useful a question. Unless Kyle, you want to take the lead on telling us about what you've been up to there.
Well, one of the things that I took away was that it really has changed in just a little bit of a hiatus for me in traveling. Just some of the ways that it is a little bit easier than I remember it as far as planning and taking care of different logistical parts of being out in the world. And I've definitely been inspired by some of our listeners' travels and getting back out there. It just was really cool to notice how many places are pretty welcoming and generally kind to visitors. Yeah, there's systems, there's different elements of places that can be a little cumbersome and hard to navigate or just don't feel as welcoming. But for me, that reminder of just how welcoming the outside world can be and inviting to just explore and find cool things. And then you get to take it back in the form of stories and adventures that you get to share.
I'd say the only time things seemed unwelcoming was upon arrival, where you weren't sure where you were or where to go, how it all worked. But then once you got used to that, it became very familiar, very welcoming. And things work, like technology works great. You know, everyone has these contactless cards for mass transit, and it's like the Omni card. You know, it's a universal thing.
Absolutely, contactless payment and just the ease and sort of speed you can transact and go about having your snack or a coffee along the way. It really is kind of amazing how you just don't have to deal with a lot of cumbersome stuff like with cash and you can pretty well take care of yourself without doing a lot of withdrawing money and exchanging it and trying to keep track of exchange rates. The other thing that I think I really appreciated is there were some countries that we went to that just had ubiquitous access to internet, and I think that's something that has to catch on. There's still this attitude that it's sort of a perk or an extra thing as opposed to being sort of standard and expected. And really everybody needs to access data, and it was just really cool to be in certain places where you check if there's a connection other than like cellular, and it's just there. You're not wandering through accepting a whole bunch of terms and taking different time signing up for things and creating this pattern or this trail of marketing and advertising that you have to agree to. There's none of that in some of the places that I got to visit, and that feeling of like, wow, this is just normal. And your standard of living is that people should have access to, they deserve information, and it helps your overall economy.
Because our home carriers really sucked. They were terrible. They were slow. They were spotty. Oftentimes, we would get absolutely nothing. And, you know, every country that I entered, I would get welcomed by my carrier saying, hey, if you want true high-speed internet, you got to pay more. Otherwise, we're going to limit you to 128K. Which is not exactly feasible for almost anything. But you would just look for Wi-Fi, and you know, if you're on a bus, hey, bus has Wi-Fi, or this train has Wi-Fi. No password, nothing like that. Just it's everywhere, especially places like Estonia. The Baltics were great as far as connectivity. Rob.
One question I have, I think for all three of you guys who have been doing some international traveling at this particular point in world history, have you noticed any difference in the vibes traveling as an American?
I was really worried about that because while I'm a European citizen and I switch to European as soon as I get on the plane, I readily admit I'm from New York. When you say you're from New York, people light up. They really do. And they say, it's my dream to go to New York. Of course, I'll never be allowed to go to New York. So many people say that, too. And these are people who live in Europe, not allowed to come to the United States. You know, if I say I'm from the United States, I'm going to get a look. I know that. But if you say you're from New York, it means something different. It really does. Hmm. And we didn't get any hostility for where we were from. And you know, we didn't exhibit any hostility towards people because, you know, we're all in this together, and people really look out for each other. You don't have to know the language. You don't have to know the culture. You just have to be open to it. And that's the magic of travel. And this is the first time since before COVID that Kyle and I have been overseas. So it was really important to catch up with a lot of people. And, you know, we went to the Chaos Communication Congress, which is the annual hacker event, takes place in Hamburg. I believe we talked to you on New Year's. And that was, you know, like Mecca for hackers. It's, you know, about 20,000 people show up for this thing. And it's just an incredible display of light and music and technology and just magic. And the thing is, you know, so many people came up to us wanting to know about HOPE and the fact that HOPE was canceled by St. John's University because there was an anarchist in our midst. We allowed anarchist collectives to be part of the entire conference as attendees, and that was too much for them, and that's why HOPE was canceled due to that. And, you know, the number of people who talked to us and paralleled that to what's going on in our country, you know, with all the horrible things. And boy, did we hear a lot of horrible things while we were traveling and occasionally turn on the news. We didn't see it as quickly that, yeah, you know what happened to HOPE is very similar to what's happening all across the country. Universities are terrified to have anything resembling free speech these days because they will be targeted. And many of them are simply just lying down and taking it. And it's awful. It's awful for people who want to be able to express themselves. It's awful for people that want to expand their minds. It's awful for people who want to push back. And right now, you know, that's a lot of us who want to push back. And, you know, ever since we got back, which is only a few days ago, wow, it's really gone into hyperdrive. And, you know, I'm super impressed with what I've seen from fellow citizens here in the States. But, you know, I want them to know that the rest of the world, or at least the parts of Europe that we went through, and that's starting in Iceland and going down through the Baltics and Western Europe, they're with us. You know, they support us. They are sending their support, their love. And, you know, we have the ability to inspire them as they inspire us. You know, when we were in was that Lithuania? I'm sorry, sometimes they merge together. Yeah, Lithuania had the buses that every single bus said, Vilnius loves Ukraine. You know, there were so many shows of support for a country being besieged by another country. And it doesn't stop there. You know, there were all kinds of displays of support for people who were being oppressed or victimized. And that extends to us, because guess what? We're those people now too, you know? And we're living in a society where you can be executed in the street now. That is a reality. And it's scary to think that's true. What's even scarier is the possibility that we might think that's normal, that we might start to accept that. And what I'm so happy about is that I'm seeing people aren't accepting it. Driving down the street today, there was a protest at an intersection, just right there, anti-ICE. There was one on Saturday. They're not going away. This time, I don't think they're stopping. And that is inspirational to the world. And I just hope people realize that, that none of us are alone. None of us are alone. People are watching. People care. People ask us all kinds of questions about what's going on here, about how such a thing is possible. How did we get to this stage? It's hard to explain. It really is hard to explain. But it's something that a lot of us saw coming, and we have to deal with it. And make no mistake, we have to deal with it. All of us listening. And just know that places like WBAI, who I really hope you support, because can you imagine not having this voice? They are going to be so important in the days, weeks, months, years ahead, as long as we have that amount of time. That's where you will hear different points of view. That's where you will hear what is actually happening. And that's where you will get past the lies, the disinformation that's being spread. I mean, we all saw it last week. We saw how, you know, you could see something with your own eyes and be told that, no, you didn't see that. You know, that used to be just an Orwell saying, but now it's reality. And you need places, you need alternative media, you need individual people to tell you that you're not alone, that we're in this together, and that you're not crazy, you know, that these things are actually happening, and we have to find strength in each other and find unity in each other. So I'm not sure if I was answering a question just now, but I felt I had to get that out, because I haven't been saying a lot recently, and there is so much going on, and we're really at a pivotal point in history, and I just don't want anybody to pass up being a part of that pivotal part of history. Alex, I see your hand is up.
Go ahead. Yeah. Well, you know, on that very note, I want to mention a few things that I've been up to over the last couple of weeks here, too. I mean, I've been very angry with what's happening with ICE all around the country, especially in New York. And I think what you're speaking to, Emmanuel, I think it strikes a chord with so many people, right? Because you have to do what you can do. It could be joining a protest. It could be making calls. It could be something, but you know, we have to push back in some way or another, because this is not—it's not just ICE. It's a coordinated attack on our freedom and our democracy, and on, in particular, this station as well. If you think about how public funding for broadcasting-related issues has been just yanked across the board, I mean, this station and many stations are suffering, and it's more important by the day, by the minute, I think, to have listener-sponsored places like this that give everyone a sense of community and show them that they're not alone. And on that front, I thought I was going to be alone in doing something a couple of weeks ago. I got this email as part of a mailing list I'm on with some NYU folks and whatnot, and it was a request to join in this effort from an NYU law clinic to push back on the ICE detentions that are happening in New York in the five boroughs. And it was a request for people to volunteer and file habeas petitions, basically contesting the right of the federal government to hold these detainees in federal custody, because very often ICE is using the wrong authorities when they detain these people, or they're detaining them under an expanded theory of authorities that is not actually the law. And so in any event, I said to myself, well, you know what? I have to do something. And I'm a lawyer here, and I have this superpower. I have this ability to file these habeas petitions under my own name. So I checked with the founder of the Ethereum Name Service, you know, the entity for which I'm general counsel. And he's over in the UK. And he said, not only do I think, you know, you should be doing this, but I entirely support it. And we can support this financially if you need to. And I showed up for this training for lawyers that volunteered. And I couldn't believe what I saw. I mean, it was absolutely incredible. It was so inspiring to see not just my name and like five other people. There were hundreds of lawyers that volunteered to file these habeas petitions. I mean, the names just kept scrolling and scrolling. These were coming from non-for-profit organizations. They were coming from private law firms. They were coming from in-house. They were coming from all over the place. Everybody was volunteering to get these. And now when these cases come in, they're hard to get because people volunteer so quickly to pick them up. There's more lawyers than there are actual cases and detentions happening right now that are willing. So I feel really good about the fact that my profession is pushing back really hard against ICE right now in New York. And we're going to continue to do so. And I will probably get my first habeas petition within the next week or so to be filing. So something fun, and I'd love to talk further about that on this show as this effort gets underway.
Well, you know, on the subject of ICE and training and all that, you know, to train law enforcement officials takes months, at least. Takes, you know, a number of months, 6 months, perhaps 20 weeks. I don't know. I've seen all kinds of different figures thrown around. And for these ICE agents who they are literally grabbing from the streets, you know, basically they're looking for MAGA supporters. They're looking for gun rights people. The qualifications are not that high. You don't have to have an education. And they're basically just handing out guns to people and saying, you now have authority. I just read this a little while ago, and I'm still stunned that this is actually what's going on. The training period has been reduced from months down to 47 days. And the reason it's 47 days is because Donald Trump is the goddamn 47th president. You know, this is the kind of childishness they engage in. It's all about numbers and symbols and power, and it doesn't matter about qualifications anymore. You know, they just will take anybody. And we saw in Minneapolis what happens when you have people who don't have a handle on their emotions and don't have proper training and have way too much power. You see what happens there. You see what happens throughout the country when somebody steps up and challenges these people, as everybody has the right to do. Everybody, I think, has the obligation to do. What they are doing is no different than what jackbooted thugs do in places where people are holed up in their houses, trying to live their lives and not be brought to some horrible place that they probably won't survive. You know, and this is not what people voted for. It certainly is not what people voted for. But this is the reality that we're facing right now. So, yeah, people don't want this. People are standing up to it. And, boy, I got to tell you, it is making them mad. It is making them insanely furious. I'm not just talking about the ICE agents. I'm talking about people in the upper echelons of government because they are becoming increasingly unhinged. And I think that is the best thing to do, is to keep pushing them until they go stark raving mad. And let's not be afraid of the power they have, because don't forget, we gave them that power. We can take it away, and we need to push hard to do that. You know, I've been to a bunch of these demonstrations, and they're great, you know, hundreds, thousands of people. And we're talking about, you know, not very large places, and they're all over the area, all over the country. But, you know, I ask myself, how many people do I know who are basically passionately in favor of these things? Quite a few. How many of them do I know who went to one of these demonstrations? Almost zero. And there's all kinds of reasons why not, and they're valid reasons for sure. But can you imagine if we all showed up, if we spread the word? And, you know, a lot of this also is the way the word gets out. You know, I ask people at these demonstrations, how do I find out when the next demonstration is? Oh, you have to join our Facebook group. I'm not on Facebook. I don't give a rat's ass about Facebook. I don't want to be on Facebook. Isn't there a better way to let people know when the next demonstration is? We just need to be more open to new people coming in. And I don't think we have to worry about being disrupted by new people. I think new people are the key. Yes, Gila, go ahead.
I had seen a tweet that went viral about a week ago, and I enjoyed it and just wanted to share it. Cheesecake Factory training is up to 4 weeks. And then even after that, you're still in a probationary period and have to follow lead servers around until they deem you fit enough to drop brown bread by yourself. Just leaving